Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Atlanta's news and talk. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, you can experience Atlanta history firsthand. The Candler Hotel Atlanta Curio Collection by Hilton, built by Asa Griggs Candler in 1906. The Candler Building is on the National Register of Historic Places. It's classic style meets Art Deco and it's glamour. This hotel has an in-house restaurant called By George. Celebrity chef Hugh Atchison is at the helm, and he just happens to be sitting across from me with my foodie correspondent, David Danzig. So, Hugh, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're one of my favorite chefs for the simple reason that you have the best vegetable plate at your restaurant, Empire State South, that I have ever eaten at in my life.
Well, good. You know,
so,
I think that...
it was so memorable that... You know, one of those dishes that you think about often that you've had?
Mm-hmm.
So you have risen to the top, the cream, because of your vegetable plate.
Well, that's a good place to be. We
yes,
like that.
Absolutely.
But I think vegetables, they've always been there, but I think that chefs learned how to cook them more recently for a number of different reasons. But we finally, you know, people love Brussels sprouts now because we no longer cook them into small mushy orbs.
Yeah, and asparagus for the same reason.
Yeah, same thing.
So you think like technique has come around, like the just experimentation? Like you brought up Brussels sprouts. It was mushy.
Yeah, I
mean, somebody's like, I'm gonna throw this in a fryer and see what happens. And good Lord, they're good. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you know turnips and but it's quality of vegetables that we're seeing in markets and farmers markets. You know, Freedom Market's got a number of amazing local farms that'll get you pristine Hakurai turnips. And you know, I come from a background of hating rutabagas and turnips because my grandmother made us eat them. But these are beautiful, and if you braise them with soy and butter and then finish them with sesame and a hint of lime and some chili,
okay,
I mean,
starving.
They're going to be wonderful. So, but yeah, I think it's technique we learned. I think that chefs adapted and learned to cook vegetables because protein prices rose to an exorbitant level where it's really difficult. You know, your 16-ounce steak of bones costs you $78 for a reason now.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, well-sourced, but it's also the beef's just really expensive now. So,
yeah.
You know, that's why we have to elaborately put 4 ounces of beef on the plate with a really nice technically done vegetables around it to look substantial
right.
enough.
But isn't that also maybe more of a challenge to do an exceptional vegetable plate? I mean, proteins... seem to always star,
take the star, yeah,
be the star, but to have an excel like what you've done with vegetables, over at Redbird,
Zeb
Stevenson does
yeah.
great stuff with vegetables. Linton Hopkins, to me, that seems to be really the mark of talent for a chef. If you make like a craveable plate,
right.
like a vegetable plate for Belinda, that's really exceptional. So
I agree to an extent. I think it's I think it's where we set the bar, and that I think that you should know as a chef how to cook vegetables really well. And I think that you're luckily we learned how to cook them because it allows us now to put a $13 carrot salad on the menu and pay the bills.
And that's worth it when it's done well.
But that's the thing is it's not that we don't miss those massive portions of proteins and expensive ingredients, and we can relegate to seeing luxury and beauty in that plate of carrots. Then we're winning as consumers, but also
right.
as chefs. So.
How much do vegetables star in the show of By George?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, hugely. I mean, we have a sort of gratin section, so, you know, bubbly, beautiful creams enveloping leeks, or in one place it's salsify with smoked oysters. And, you know, there's a lot of room for us to showcase vegetables in light applications or hearty applications, or, you know, bubbly and browned and beautiful and golden. So there's so many different ways you can cook them, and that's a good thing. I mean, if you can't treasure and take total reverence in a beautifully cooked leek, then you're talking to the wrong person.
So tell us a little bit about the hotel, and then about the restaurant by George.
Yeah, I mean, it's a stunning Belle Epoque sort of building. You know, 1906, I think it was built. It was the tallest building at the time in downtown Atlanta, kind of near Terminus Station. Asa Candler, who was the head of Coca-Cola and really launched the brand. He didn't invent Coke, but he bought the recipe for Coke and really turned it into what it is. Yeah, he opens up this building really to operate as his homage to himself. And because you go to these beautiful marble staircases and huge amount of imported product to build this building. But you go down these majestic staircases and they're busts of, like, you know, Rabelais and different philosophers and Descartes and all the, and then Asa Candler.
And then his, his bust, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, if you're going to build a building, you're allowed to put yourself in the Hall of Fame, whether you deserve it or not. And I think as a business person, he definitely does. So the ground floor where By George was a bank. It was Asa's bank. Then the rest of the building was machinations of his empire. And, you know, that bank over the years became a kind of overlooked, and it propped up in Baby Driver as the opening scene. Started that amazing car chase with the cops to John Spencer's Blues Explosion.
Yeah.
Bell Bottoms, the song.
Oh, wow.
So it's got recent Atlanta history, and it's got really historical history too, but By George is the name of the two architects. I just wanted to reference them and the importance of the building and what we're trying to do. And it's meant to be a good French restaurant. And that's it.
No, I mean, let's also be frank. It's jaw dropping. I mean, the space that you inhabit
it is a phenomenal space. I think it would be phenomenal if we just had it lit and hadn't done anything to it.
Right.
It's just got amazingly massive imported marble, like real marble columns, and some of the original tile still there. We relocated a lot and found the original chandeliers. There are these beautiful Tiffany round windows as you enter into the space. We put the kitchen downstairs, so we have a team of people with exceptional calves now, which is good.
Running up and down the stairs. And you told me when I walked through it with you, you know, I noted these incredible windows that are built in, you know, they don't actually even face outside. They sort of face inside. But they were these lost treasures that were uncovered in the construction.
Yeah, they pulled away all this particle board and drywall, and there are these 6-foot diameter Tiffany glass windows. I mean, they're worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars, and somebody covered
them. There were two of them.
Oh, no.
And there are two of them mirroring.
Oh, wow.
You almost can look through them around the lobby, and the lobby itself is just amazing of the hotel. It's got this bank of beautiful brass elevators, like 6 elevators, and just the even like as simple as the old mail drops from different floors are these beautiful ornate brass carved things, and then you go outside and sort of the equivalent of the gargoyles everywhere on the building are just all Italian marble carved by some guy named Luigi. His brother Mario.
Yeah. Okay.
It was done by the Mario Brothers.
Okay. Well, now we have a scoop here about the Candler, the new Candler Hotel.
And the princess lives on the top.
And okay.
Wow.
That's
her quest
exciting.
Is to save her. This is all untrue, but yes.
Untrue.
So we're here with Hugh Atchison, 2-time James Beard award-winning chef and restaurateur. And we're talking about By George and the new Candler Hotel downtown. I mean, have you ever been given a canvas like this? I mean, I'm sure not. Was that intimidating to basically go into a fine art museum and is like, here you go, Hugh. Now make sure the cuisine
matches
this setting.
Yeah. And no, I don't really think I have, but it's amazingly interesting to do that. The ownership of the hotel is this amazing family out of California called the Millers, and they've just been really supportive about all aspects of the hotel. And I think that the Curio Collection is meant to be really independent restaurants within the confines of a Hilton as their boutique line, and they're really trying to keep with that. And so it's really refreshing to go into and align with the corporate world in something as, hey, look, man, that we're just like little restaurant people who try and do a good job every day. So it's become a really good match and a really strong strong team overall.
So you have a great bar program. Inside by George.
Yeah, the bar programs are all done by Kelly Thorne, who is the head of bartending at Empire State South, but mm-hmm. also throughout all the restaurants that we have. And Kelly installed just an amazingly interesting program, focusing on a lot of French stuff, a lot of cognacs and armagnacs, but really amazing mixology and mixed beverages, mm-hmm. Cocktails. And then Stephen Grubbs, who has been my wine director for 20 mm-hmm. years and started as a busboy at 5 and 10. Geez, 20 years ago now, and this really never worked for another person. Sorry, Steve.
That is unheard of in your industry.
I know, but Steve's an amazing, amazing guy, and he's installed just an amazing, really interesting wine program, focusing on a lot of French classics, but a lot of stuff that is unheralded. So as long as tariffs don't go up to 800%, we'll continue down that road.
Yeah. So what are you most proud of on the menu right now?
You know, I think it's taking simple things and doing them well, whether it be, you know, pomme dauphine, which are these beautiful sort of, it's whipped potatoes that then are scooped out as almost a batter and then fried to crisp, and they come out like beautiful little crisp, tender potato puffs almost. There's that. There's a sort of version of steak d'Iam, which is more of an American thing, but done in a very French style. And it's stunning with a really simple mushroom jus and a beautiful filet, and then a consummate amount of really properly cut chives and things like that. And then a potato mousseline next to it that's kind of one of those ethereal preparations of potatoes that the real truth to it is that you never want to know how much butter we put in there. But it's amazing that we can do that.
Yes.
So there's just so many things on the menu. It's the type of place that I want you to go in and have a bowl of vichyssoise in the hotter times of the year, not right now because it's very cold out, that is indicative it pulls to the heartstrings if you've ever had really great vichyssoise of what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. It's got the natural sweetness of leeks and this underpinning of potatoes that's never gummy. It's got this overlay of wonderful fresh cream and those type of flavors that just work well and they're so technically spot on. That's, I think, what we want to really showcase.
It's just too bad you're not passionate about cooking, Chef.
I'm wrapped up in everything you're saying.
I could listen to you talk about food and technique and preparation for days.
We're speaking with Hugh Atchison with the restaurant that's in-house at the Candler Hotel by George. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB.
Here's Belinda.
Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We're in the studio with celebrity chef Hugh Atchison at the helm of By George in the Candler Hotel and my buddy David Danzig with the website bitesandsights.net. So you're in the Candler Hotel downtown. I really feel like that could be a catalyst for that area. Downtown has had its trouble in the last few years, some gentrification to take place.
Yeah, I don't know. Gentrification needs to take place anywhere in a lot of ways. I think just goodness needs to take place. Understanding of the history and the historic merit of the places you're going into, respecting that, investing in that, figuring out how we can get African-American-owned businesses within and thriving in that area. I mean, the Candler is going to do some for employment in the area, but I think the catalysts really have been Georgia State, which has been phenomenally successful. I think it's Mercedes-Benz. I think it's State Farm Arena. I think in South Downtown, what the Newport group out of Germany has done in buying upwards of 40 buildings, some of which are huge, and really doing slow, good development on them for the long term. not flipping. I think those are the things that change downtown for the better. I don't think, contrary to a lot of people, what they say about downtown Atlanta, I don't think downtown Atlanta ever really lost its luster. I think that we're just, we've seen massive growth in other sectors of the city, and I think that we're going to see that now in downtown. And I think that more and more people are, it's becoming a bedroom community again, which is really important.
That.
And that's the importance of places that have a thriving economy, because economy can't just be a 9-to-5 thing, not in this day and age. We need people who are, we need a grocery store downtown. We need good levels in all sort of levels of hospitality and dining options from low end to high end. We need good retail experiences. And all those things are happening and can happen in downtown. I don't know. I think downtown's the place to be. I think that it's first is affordable. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's very wide spectrum. And I think that's really important. And that's Atlanta to me.
And we appreciate everything that you've given to the city, Hugh, in the past years, and everything you're giving forward. So thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Atlanta Living, only on 95.5 WSB. And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, it is carnival time, and that means it is party time over this weekend. And Lundi Gras is Monday, and Fat Tuesday's coming up, and Lent. So we have got to get our eating on. So I have my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, in the studio. David, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
And we brought in a chef who has opened a new restaurant. He's not new to Atlanta. So he is new to the New Orleans food scene since December. That is the owner of Lagarde, Chef Jamie Adams. So, Jamie, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
You brought some tasty treats. These are things that your family, who grew up in New Orleans, your mom and your dad, served you as a kid.
That's correct. You know, we opened the restaurant with my food memories from my aunts and uncles, and what mom cooked and what dad loved to go out to eat. And he loved life, and food was a big part of it as a family growing up.
Now, you're not new to the food scene in Atlanta.
No, I've been around for a little bit. spent 21 years with Buckhead Life.
Yes.
Yeah. Most of which were at Vinnie Vitti Vici, and we've been at Il Giallo now for 4 years, a little over 4 years, and Lagarde got open right at the end of November, so we're coming up on 4 months-ish, and it's been going great.
And David, you are big on the carnival scene.
Well,
You have some ties to New Orleans.
I do. I spent four
Wonderful.
I would say memorable. I guess there were periods where I remember
those blackouts.
Being there. Yes. I did emerge with a degree from Tulane University, Go Green Wave. And Chef, yeah, this is so cool that you're doing this. We're in the studio and you brought some of your gumbo, some of your red beans and rice. We've got this incredible barbecued shrimp. And I know there's probably a lot of the listeners who, you know, there's sort of a dearth of New Orleans. Like it got exciting for a minute, and I think a lot of concepts were popping up, and then it's kind of gone out. I don't know. It's sort of disappeared from the scene, but it's great that you have opened up Lagarde over in Chamblee.
Right.
And, you know, bringing some of that New Orleans energy and those flavors. So, you know, you have a childhood connection to the Big Easy. And so, you know, tell me a little bit more about, you know, have you tweaked some family recipes? Have you like added some of your own, or are you kind of staying on the playbook that your parents set out for you?
No, you know, I started off with the things that were comfortable that I knew that were my, you know, like I said, my Aunt Elvie and my Aunt Kat, the two aunts that were just awesome. And so, you know, the gumbo and the red beans are all about them. The barbecue shrimp was definitely my Aunt Elvie's. Gumbo was my mom's.
Well, Aunt Elvie mm-hmm.
yeah.
has a winner
right.
here.
Yeah.
And that was a big event in the Adams household. Was she would make this gigantic tray of shrimp covered with salt and pepper and a little Tabasco and butter and Worcestershire and a bead of beer and some lemons, and then put it in the grill. Mm. And man, and put it on a table with newspaper. It was something else. Yeah.
And are you doing some stuff that have you brought some of your own? Have you experimented and gone off the fairway a little bit to try to do some dishes?
Yeah, absolutely. We do some, you know, do some funky things. Our oyster program is enormous. And so we do on the half shell, we do them fried, we do them grilled, and those are incredibly popular.
Yep.
We have some funky salads that are a lot of fun that you can add stuff to, or we have one of the best chicken sandwiches in the world, in the known universe,
really?
Possibly.
Oh, really? Because, you know, you're speaking big words here in Atlanta saying that.
I know. But we're going to get known for that fried chicken sandwich.
What's so good about it?
It's been sweet tea brined. And
How'd you come up with that idea?
A friend of mine just said, hey, I tried the sweet tea brine chicken. And I said, why don't we try it? I said, okay, let's try it. And man, it's just killer. And it's just a really good piece of Springer Mountain chicken thigh. And a good bun and some spicy sauce. It's just killer.
Wow, I'm going to have to try that.
What would you say, if for people know the New Orleans scene, what would LaGuard be closest to, would you say? Is it like a Commander's Palace experience or more like a Galatoire's or a Arnaud's or...
No, it'd be way further down the gutter
More down the gutter.
Further down the gutter.
A little more casual.
Very casual, playful.
Like an Acme Oyster House kind
of
thing?
You know, sort of Acme, but a little bit more refined than Acme.
Okay.
You know, it's a fun space.
With the line still down the sidewalk, right?
Well, you know, on this morning, it's going to be crazy for brunch. And today and Sunday brunch is nutso. And there is a line out the door.
So what are you guys doing to celebrate Carnival at the restaurant?
So we're going to bring on a couple of things that people have been asking for. People have been, you know, hankering for crawfish somehow. So
yeah, how's the season this year?
I can't really say. Okay. I know I got my finger on the pulse. I know we're towards the tail end of the season right now.
Right.
And but there's all sorts of product out there. So I'm going to do some crawfish pies, which is not very traditional. But
really? What does that entail? Is that like a traditional pie with just crawfish meat? Or
It's like an empanada.
Yeah, it's like a pastry.
Going to just make a really tasty crawfish and peppers and onions filling and then fry it and have a really delicious little sauce to go with it.
You should do a crawfish bread. Have you ever been to Jazz Fest and had the crawfish bread at the fairgrounds?
I have never been to Jazz
Fest. That would turn this scene upside down. If anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, you're like nodding your head profusely.
And I'm taking notes.
Okay,
now,
absolutely.
Now, Chef, are you going to have some specials during the Carnival season?
Yep, in addition to the crawfish pies, we're going to do jambalaya.
Okay.
And that's something that... My parents never, you know, my family didn't do a whole lot. What they did is they had this dish called shrimp Creole, and it was kind of like a rice dish with shrimp, and everything kind of is born out of the trinity of peppers, celery, and onion, and roux. But you know, in the case of jambalaya, there's no roux. It's just all that stuff with tomatoes, which, you know, tomatoes. It's a complicated story. Everybody wonders what's Creole, what's Cajun.
Because there's a difference. I mean, everybody thinks New Orleans, they intertwine them, but there's a distinct distinction.
There is. And Creole and Cajun are almost more geographical terms than anything else.
Okay.
I mean, there are definitely differences in what the Cajuns eat and what the Creole eat. But the Creole is the mixture of the Spanish, French, and Italian and Caribbean that's all in New Orleans. Cajun is... down south.
Just the bayou.
In the bayou.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so they tend to not use as much tomato down there, and they use a lot of different proteins. Whatever they can catch, shoot, or kill.
And little gator.
A little more adventurous.
They'll put it with, you know, that same kind of similar flavor profile, but just, you know, a lot of out there stuff.
And is LaGuard more Creole or more Cajun, or do you kind of... do you sprinkle
It's a little bit of both.
Cool.
And a little Americana thrown in there. We have a burger, you know.
Yeah.
Have lots of po' boys and So, you know, we do a little bit of everything, and now we're starting to grow the menu after about 4 months.
Where do you get your po' boy bread from?
Oh, this is impressive.
One and only answer to that question.
Please say the word.
It starts with an L.
Yes, yeah, Leidenheimer's Bakery.
Flown in almost daily.
Check mark. Okay. You have my official seal of approval. You go to the po' boys at Lagarde. Chef Jamie Adams, that's fantastic. Good for you, Chef.
Yeah, I knew he goes through it so quickly. It's literally almost flown in daily.
We don't have much room, so we have to get it just constantly, and you know, which is a great problem to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the atmosphere, you had a designer, Vivian Lead Interiors, design your space.
That's
and
right.
And so it's almost all windows.
Yeah, we got the building that was just the shell, and it, you know, three of the sides are glass, you know, with garage doors, and it's got this tilted roof, and it's this really open space that, you know, took some figuring out to put the restaurant in there, and Vivian did an awesome job. It's playful, it's whimsical, it's a lot of fun, but it's also got, you know, elegance to it.
Yeah.
But not, no, nothing stuffy, but just beautiful little touches. We have some really cool graffiti work.
Yeah. Tell me about that. When I read about that, I thought that was cool that you brought in really true Atlanta graffiti.
Yeah. These guys called the Lotus Eaters Club, which are, they're animators with the Cartoon Network. And they, you know, six or seven of them get together as a side gig, and they do this stuff. So we got together for a couple of lunches and just talked to them and hung out with them. And then they came up with some sketches, and it's just absolutely awesome the end product there. So you got to see it.
True graffiti artists or true artists.
They are.
Street art, sure.
Street art, yeah.
Yeah, I'd also say what's cool about the design, it seems to fit in the new revitalized downtown Chamblee area, which
absolutely is
really come on amazingly strong.
Yeah, you know, much like Sandy Springs, where we did the other restaurants,
yes,
it was kind of ground, you know, it was been around, but it was, you know, a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
Chamblee is kind of going through a similar growth spurt. You know, it's just north of Brookhaven.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are building. There's all kinds of cool office space coming in. There's restaurants. There's plans for a hotel and all kinds of development, but it's all independent stuff. There's not a whole lot of big chains that are there, and a lot of homegrown talent coming in, and it's just a blast. And the population density is going through the roof.
That is great. You want to give the address and the specials once again, so if people want to visit you over the Mardi Gras season?
Absolutely. We are at 5090 Peachtree Boulevard, which is right at Claremont and Peachtree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be featuring jambalaya, crawfish pies. We're also going to have some great drink specials, hand grenades, hurricanes.
Oh, my gosh.
Great Abita beer, some Abita Amber on draft, and the Purple Haze, and some great cocktails from American Spirit Works. And then they may get a little bit more inexpensive on Mardi Gras
Day.
Okay.
Like a winner. Thank you, Chef Jamie Adams from Lagarde. That sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you. Lassez le bon temps rouler.
All right. You've been listening to Atlanta Living only on 95.5 WSB. Thank you, Scott, and welcome back to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews, our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website BitesAndSights.net. So this week, we are talking Indonesian cuisine.
Yeah, do you ever drive past a restaurant for a long time that piques your interest, but
yeah,
you never get the,
all the time,
kind of turn into it? So for me, that was Win Indonesian Grill.
Hmm.
It's on Peachtree Street, South Buckhead. It opened just a year ago, and it's on the bottom floor of an office building. It's right next to the legendary Imperial Fez.
Okay.
Which, in other breaking news, just announced it's moving from there to the suburbs. So that's another segment. But admittedly, I'd never tried Indonesian cuisine. It's kind of a blind spot, but I decided to check it out, and wow, on Win. I mean, So first thing you asked me off the air was like, what is Indonesian cuisine?
I had
so
no idea.
300 different ethnicities are spread across 600 islands, and that's 600 out of 17,000 islands that make up Indonesia.
Wow.
It's an archipelago. So just thought I'd teach everybody that. The easiest thing to say is it's got elements of Thai, Indian, Middle Eastern. There's even Dutch in the cuisine there. So when Indonesian Grill, it surprises you the moment you walk in. It's very sleek. It's modern. It's even a little sexy. The menu is easy to follow. It's divided up into traditional street food, small plates, stuff like pork dumplings and corn fritters. They've got grilled meats on a stick like chicken satay with a peanut sauce, some a la carte dishes. But if you want to check out Wynn, I recommend trying one of their Restaffel services. And Restaffel is a Dutch-era cuisine. It's a service. They put out about 12 to 15 small dishes, rice, curried meats, chicken, fish, vegetables, pickles, relishes, sauces, condiments. It's wow. all at once. It just places this all in front of you. It's one of the prettiest arrangements of food you'll ever sit in front of. And it's the flavors, it's like a tsunami. It's just, you can't even keep up with it.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible experience. So, you know, try those restaurants that you've been driving past, but definitely check out Wynn Indonesian Grill. It's in South Buckhead off Peachtree Street. It's right next to Imperial Fez. And I've got some great pictures up on my website, which is bitesandsights.net.
Get out of your comfort zone. Yes. I did that the other day. I went to Rio Brazilian Steakhouse
nice.
In Chamblee, and yeah. it was a winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, where can we find you during the week?
So again, my website is bitesandsights.net. B-I-T-E-S, the letter N-S-I-T-E-S.net. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. My handle is @BitesNSites.
Okay, coming up next, our very own Dr. Joe Esposito. We are going to break down the popular diets and tell you who gets an A and who gets an F. Stay tuned.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.